Well, bless the Lord. Last week, Vance shared how communication takes effort. How many of you know the effort it takes to communicate with your spouse? Communication takes effort. Communication is a very important thing in our relationships, especially our relationship between husband and wife, right? Communication. Husbands can get in trouble when they don't communicate. Alright? Right, wives? Yes. Okay. So Vance shared that communication takes effort. It does. It does take effort. He shared the acronym of ACTS for prayer. A, adoration. C, confession. T, thanksgiving. And S, supplication. How's that for communication? Adoration. I like to adore my wife, I can tell you that. Alright? Adoration. But of course we're talking about communicating with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we need to work at growing in our communication with the Lord. We are saved by grace through faith. Only by God's grace through faith. Not by works. But that doesn't mean we don't do any work. We need to work at our communication and growing in our communication with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the reason is that communication with our Lord is our life as a Christian. Our relationship with Christ is our prayer life. You think, what makes a relationship? A relationship is only as good as the communication that is going on between the people in that relationship. And so when we understand that our relationship with Jesus Christ really comes down to our prayer life and praying and talking and walking with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Prayer has everything to do with our life as a Christian. Prayer is being a Christian. Amen. We had a new student this year that she said, I don't know how to pray. She was asked to pray. And she said, I don't know how to pray. Well, in Luke 11, verse 1, a disciple asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Maybe you don't know how. Well, Jesus teaches us how to pray. And it's very important to learn how to pray because it really relates to our life. It really fundamentally is our life as a Christian, as a true disciple of Christ, to know how to pray. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. He said in verse 5, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. And he says, do not be like the hypocrites. The hypocrites would play act for show. They would do it for show. Verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, Jesus was not saying that there can't be any public prayer. Else we know elsewhere in Scripture that it talks about praying publicly and we're to pray publicly. But what he's doing, and all through this chapter, he's getting to really the heart motive. All through this chapter and the Sermon on the Mount here, he's talking about having an in-secret relationship with Jesus Christ. And really, that's what prayer is about. Prayer is about having that secret relationship with Jesus Christ, having that intimacy with Him. And so, he's not coming against praying publicly, but he's testing the motive. Is the motive to impress others, or is the motive to build others up? Verse 7. It says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. For they think they will be heard because of their many words. See, the pagans, they'd be praying to this pagan god, and this praying god, and this praying god, and going through all kinds of incantations, and just trying to please these various gods, and keep babbling that way. Jesus is saying, you don't have to do that. Do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And so he's saying we don't need to keep praying these meaningless, repetitive prayers and praying the same thing over and over and over again. I like what he's advocating here. He's advocating sentence prayers. Prayers that get to the heart. Prayers that, you know, what are you saying, Lord, to us today? And I see this relevant to the prophetic flow in our church. Part of being a body life church is that we allow for the prophetic in the Sunday morning service. We allow for God to speak to us. And I think it behooves us to take instruction from this. You know, what is God saying? God might give you a very long passage of scripture, but what is the heart of what God is saying? What is that nugget that the Lord is placing in your heart and mind to edify the body and to really speak that out confidently, prophetically, to edify the church, to build the church up? What is God saying? And so then here we have verse 9, which is known as the Lord's Prayer. But it could be more appropriate to call it the disciples' prayer. The prayer of a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. I like how he says, this is how you should pray. Not necessarily what you should pray, but how you should pray. And we tell the students at Living Grace Christian School, we're encouraging them this year to grow in their prayer life. And it may be that a kindergartner or a first grader just starts out by memorizing this prayer and praying this prayer every morning. Great. But we're encouraging the students as they grow older, as they grow in their relationship with Christ, to use this as a template, to use this as kind of an outline for their growing prayer life. That this would be like the outline points of their prayer life. That they don't just say a rote prayer, but they learn to use the points of this prayer to develop an ever-increasing prayer life. And so Jesus taught us how to pray. And he says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven. We asked the kids at school for names for their father. And of course, you had dad, you had daddy. All right? Ira, what do you call your daddy? Daddy. Okay. All right. We had Poppy. All right. I think somebody said something like boo-boo or something like that. All right. I don't know what it was. But we had maybe about 8, 9, 10 names for daddy. In Romans 8:15, the Apostle Paul says, For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. But you receive the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirits that we are God's children. And so we cry, Abba, Father. We cry, Daddy, Father. We cry, Poppy, Father. The focus is on Abba, Father. Not on me, your child. And that's significant. As we start the day, as we start every day, we call out, Abba, Father. We start out, Our Father. Abba, Father. God's mercies are new every morning. We're not focusing on ourselves and our shortcomings and the mistakes that we made the previous day, but we're focusing on our Father God. The Bible says He keeps in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon the Lord. And so those two words, Our Father, to start every day with Our Father, focusing upon Him and starting to praise Him and worship Him. And start out with Our Father. And then to pray things such as, Father, I thank You, Lord God, that You love me. Father, I thank You that Your mercies are new every morning. I thank You that Your grace is sufficient for this day. And so starting out with Our Father and focusing on Our Father as opposed to oneself. When we have doubts because of sin, we cry, Abba, Father. And the focus is on Him as opposed to the focus upon me. It helps with assurance of salvation when we are going through perhaps those doubts. Abba, Father, God's Spirit testifies. That means He communicates with our spirit. And that's communication, that's prayer. Vance talked about listening this morning in the Lord's table. God's Spirit testifies with our spirit. And that's that listening when we hear our Abba Father and our spirit. And that's all a part of that prayer. Listening. His Spirit testifying with our spirit and encouraging our spirit. Communicating with God. He communicates to us assurance that we are His children. God calls us to grow in Abba Father's perfect love. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 16. It says, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like Him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us." Abba Father's perfect love. That's the way the Lord calls us every day to start out with Him in prayer. Focusing on His perfect love. Father, I thank You that Your perfect love drives out fear. God wants His perfect love to be growing in you. Do you see yourself growing and being motivated out of love as opposed to being motivated out of fear? So many people in this world today are motivated out of fear. Fear of losing their job. Fear of not being able to pay the bills. God wants us to be growing and being motivated out of love as opposed to fear. And our Father God, starting every day with Him and letting His assurance with our spirit and our heart will help to develop that perfect love inside of us. Going back to the disciples' prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Hallowed be Your name. When we say that phrase, it helps us to remember who we are relating with. We are relating with a holy God. It helps us to not be casual about it and kind of buddy-buddy about it. But to remember that we are relating with a holy God that is set apart. And He says, be holy as I am holy. Be set apart as I am set apart. Do you know that you are set apart? Do you know that it is part of your identity as a Christian? It is part of your identity as a child of God? That you are part of a holy nation? That you are a chosen people? That you are a people belonging to God? Do you know that you are set apart? It's important that you know that you are set apart. That God has set you apart for a purpose. It's important to know that you are special. Cheyenne, you are special. Alright? Okay. 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Therefore prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do." God has set you apart. God calls you special. Say, "I'm special." That's what we want all the children at Living Grace Christian School and all the children in the congregation. We want them to know that they're special. Alright? We want all of you to know that you're special. I mean, that's what we tell kids often, isn't it? Alright? You're special. God wants you to know that you're special. That God has set you apart for a significant, eternal, God-focused, others-focused purpose in this life. The Bible calls us to live our lives worthy of the calling that we have received. He has set you apart. He has made you special. And God calls that motivates you to live your life worthy for Him. When you realize that you are set apart for a special purpose, That motivates you to live for Him. You are set apart to do His will. And that leads me to the next part of how we pray. Verse 10. Pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Kingdom and will. God's kingdom and will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're praying that God's kingdom and will would come and His will be done in every area of my life, in every area of the lives of those that are around me, my neighbors. It's a way that we can love our neighbor. The Bible calls us to love our neighbor. And so in every area of my life and those that are in my life, my neighbors, my family members, my loved ones, friends, family, co-workers, my neighbors. This is where I spend most of my time in prayer. Praying for God's kingdom and will to come into my life. All right? I know the issues that I deal with. I know the sins that I deal with. And so I'm praying for myself during that time. I'm praying for my wife. I'm praying for my marriage. I'm praying for my children. I'm praying for our extended family and friends. I'm praying for you all. I'm praying for the church. All right? I'm praying for all the families that we have any kind of connectivity to. This is, I would say, the meat of where we're praying for people. We're praying for God's kingdom and will to come into every area of our lives. And what that means is that God's kingdom is coming. It means that we're ever changing to become more like Christ. That's what discipleship is. The goal of discipleship is to become more like Christ. And the Christian life is a life of change. And so we're allowing His kingdom and His lordship to come more and more into every area of our lives. Are you willing to submit to God's lordship in every area of your life? And your use of your time, and your use of your finances, and the leading of your family, and your kids' activities, and your pursuit of pleasure? Are you willing to submit every area of your life? That's what it means to pray God's kingdom and will come on earth as it is in heaven. He is worthy of our full trust. And when we allow His kingdom and will to come into every area of our life, it doesn't mean that we're going to necessarily have this great life. But what it does mean is that we are walking in a communication and a prayerful relationship with Jesus Christ. We have a true relationship with Him. What about God's will? That's an interesting topic. As pastor, I know that many people wrestle with knowing what is God's will. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." I've heard it been said, it's not easy, but it's simple. One of those. It becomes crystal clear as to what God's will is when we're truly willing to allow God's kingdom and will to come into every area of our lives. When we're willing to say, "Lord," as we heard this morning, as Isaiah said, "Lord, I'm willing. I'm ready. Lord, send me." When we're willing to surrender our lives to Him and to allow His lordship and kingship to come into every area of our life, whatever way He wants to lead, then things become clear as to His direction. In verse 11, disciples' prayer, we say, "Give us today our daily bread." Bread was thought of as the basic food source, the basic food sustaining life. Where do you get your daily bread from? What are you depending on for your daily bread? Who are you depending on for your daily bread? It says, "Give us today our daily bread." Of course, we're communicating with the Lord. Give us today our daily bread. Who are you depending on for your daily bread? Are you depending on the government? Are you depending on a credit card? Or are you depending on Jesus Christ? In the Old Testament, for 40 years, God provided the Israelites with daily manna, just enough for each day. In Luke 11:3, the version there of the disciples' prayer, it really makes the point. It says, give us each day our daily bread. The clause there is repetitive. Each day, daily bread. In that time of Jesus, typically people were paid one day at a time. Kind of expresses the need. I needed remuneration today for my work so that I could have bread tomorrow. Give us this day our daily bread. It doesn't mean that we're just expecting God to throw down manna upon us every day. It doesn't mean we don't work for the money that we need to buy bread. But what it does mean is that we trust the Lord in every area of our life, including for our work. We trust the Lord even for our work. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Remember that even when you are producing wealth and things are going well and money's coming in, it is the Lord your God that gives you the ability to produce wealth. And that speaks of God's grace in our lives. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The word of God is the most important bread for us. Are you hungry? Are you needy? I had some bread this morning. I had an English muffin this morning. Alright? I like bread. How many of you like bread? One of my most important prayers that I pray for us is I pray for material bread. I pray for physical bread. I pray for food. But I also pray for the bread of life. I pray that you will have the bread of life. I pray that you will have the bread of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to John 6:32. Because that bread is even more important. John 6:32, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, the manna, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus is the bread of life. Let's go back to the disciples' prayer, Matthew 6:12. It says, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Our debtors are those that have trespassed against us. Our debtors are those that have sinned against us, are those that have hurt us, are those that have offended us. These are ones that owe us something. They are in our debt. Has someone offended you recently, so much so that you can't let it go? Someone that is in your debt? Was it so offensive that you can't release that person? That you just say, I just can't forgive that person? How do you forgive? How do we forgive? We forgive the same way that the Lord calls us to live this life as Christians. We forgive by faith. We have to trust God to forgive. Because it's not something that we can do in our own strength. We have to be willing to come before the Lord Jesus Christ and bring that person before the Lord and say, Lord, by faith, I don't feel like it, but by faith, I release this person to you. I forgive this person, and I commit this person to you, Lord. And then we've got to walk by faith. Because the enemy will try to remind us of that situation. They'll try to remind us of what that person is. They'll try to remind us of the offense. Say, no, I've given that person to the Lord. I released that person, Lord. No, take that to Jesus, Satan. She's in his hands. No, take that to Jesus, Satan. He's in his hands. No, take that to Jesus, Satan. He's in the Lord's hands. I don't encourage you to talk to Satan. Just say, no, take that to Jesus. No, take that to Jesus. When it keeps coming, no, take that to Jesus. No, take that to Jesus. I've given it to the Lord. No, take that to Jesus. And you might have to do that 50 times. But that's faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Sometimes you feel that the debt is so large, that the offense is so awful, that the person could never pay us back. Well, there's no way that we can pay back the debt that we owe the Father. There's no way. The Lord is saying that He forgives those debts that we could not pay back. Those debts that there's just no way that we could pay those debts back. They're so large that we would never be able to. We would be hopelessly in debt for the rest of our lives. There's no amount of money and salary and getting this job or that job that would enable us to get enough money to pay it back. And so, we don't even try. We have to receive God's forgiveness. And we also need to be willing to forgive others. The attitude of giving and receiving forgiveness works hand in hand. Part of our daily prayer, part of our daily life, is that we need the grace of God. And so during this time, when I'm praying, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, I'm confessing my sin. I'm also reflecting upon my heart to see if there's anything that I'm holding against anyone. And making sure I forgive that person so that I can be free to live during that day for Jesus Christ. If there is one thing that will hold you back in your Christian walk, it is unforgiveness towards another. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." Forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Verse 13, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Lead us not into temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that no, there is no temptation that has seized you except for what is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but with the temptation will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God always provides a way out. God's grace is sufficient for you. 1 John 1:9 says that we have 1 John says that we have an advocate to the Father. And verse 9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Also, in this particular part of the prayer, "Lead us not into temptation," it speaks of testing. It speaks of being tested. For God doesn't tempt us to sin. We need to understand that. God does not tempt us to sin. So it speaks of testing here. And we do undergo tests. James 1 verse 2 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And this perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And so we do undergo tests. And so what the Lord Jesus is counseling His disciples to do, counseling us to do, is to pray that the tests not be too severe. The Lord God is not someone that just, you know, "I'm going to see how much they can handle. You know, I'm just going to throw the book at them and just throw it. No, what He's saying here is praying that the tests not be too severe, that we cannot handle them. This week we got word about some of what the Christians in missionaries in Iraq are dealing with this ISIS persecution. And we heard word of them going to Christian families and not killing the parents, but killing the children in front of their parents. And these children, they would live if they would deny Jesus Christ. And they're not denying Jesus Christ. They're affirming that they love Jesus Christ, and they're being killed in front of their parents. That is a very severe test. I'd like us to stop and pray for them right now, even. Father, we lift up these Christians. We lift up these missionaries that are being persecuted for their faith by this terrible ISIS persecution. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you would deliver them from this evil. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you'd help these missionaries who have determined to stay and help these families, Lord God. Father, I pray that you'd help these families, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that you would bring these ones to justice, Lord God. That this scourge upon the Middle East would stop, Lord. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew 10:23, Jesus said, when you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. We're to flee persecution. And so the prayer here is we're praying that the test not be too severe. It says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the enemy. Deliver us from the enemy. Deliver us from Satan. To recognize that we have victory in Christ. That victory has already been purchased by his blood on the cross. That Jesus is able to deliver us from the evil one. You have got to have that confidence. This is how the Lord's Prayer ends. This is how the disciples' prayer ends. That you have that confidence that the Lord is able to deliver you from the evil one. And we have that confidence because of how Jesus conquered the enemy on the cross. How his blood was shed upon us. And so we can say, Lord, I thank you that I'm purchased by your blood. I thank you that I'm covered by your blood. I thank you that my marriage is covered by the blood. You may think that your marriage is under attack. You may think that your children are under attack. And so this is part of your developing prayer. You're thanking the Lord that your marriage, your family is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're standing in the gap for your family. Jesus is able to deliver us from the one that is against us. He's able to deliver us from those temptations to do wrong. There is a man named Jabez. Jabez was a man that came out in the Word of God in 1 Chronicles in the middle of these long lists of genealogies. You've seen these long lists of genealogies in the Bible, and when you're reading through the Bible, it just seems like you're reading it, you know, the same thing over and over and over again. Well, in one of these long lists, this man of Jabez stood out. And he prayed a very significant prayer in 1 Chronicles 4:9-10. It says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. That's prayer. He cried out to the God of Israel. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Some translations say, keep me from evil so that I will not cause harm. Again, the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. What a prayer. Keep me from evil that I may not cause harm. I met with a lady the other day right here in the sanctuary and just struggling. And just the unfaithfulness that has occurred with her husband. And you see, as someone that works with children and young people, you see the harm that could be caused to children and young people, and marriages break apart, and just the violence that Scripture talks about, the violence that occurs to the heart of a child. Keep me from evil that I may not cause harm. That's a great daily prayer. That's something that I pray. When I get to that part at the end of the disciples' prayer, I also pray the prayer of Jabez every day. Keep me from evil that I may not cause harm. That's a great daily prayer. Giving into temptation is giving into sin, which leads to destruction. It destroys lives and it harms people. But thanks be to God. We must remember that God's grace undoes the effects of sin. God's grace undoes the effects of sin. And then we have the postlogue to the disciples' prayer here. Verse 14. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. The important principle of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not just something that, okay, it's a great thing to do as a Christian life. Forgiveness has everything to do with our relationship with Jesus Christ. Forgiveness has everything to do with our prayer life. Our life as a Christian is our prayer life. Because without forgiveness, we don't have an open heaven. We don't have an open relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that's why Jesus is emphasizing it here. The same heart posture that grants forgiveness is the same heart posture that is able to receive God's forgiveness. I'd like us all to stand for prayer. I'd like to pray for you, for us. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord God, that we would start every day with the Lord's Prayer. That we would make this a discipline of our lives as true disciples of Christ, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord God, that we would start every day with the disciples' prayer. Father, even if at first we're just praying it by rote memory, that's okay, Lord God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Oh, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, but as we grow, Lord God, help us to fill in the areas, Lord God. Help us to grow as we're praying, as we're saying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Help us to spend time praising you. Help us to spend time hallowing you, Lord God. Remembering who you are as our Father, Lord God. As we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to pray that your kingdom and will come into every area of our lives, and our marriages, and our families, Lord God, and our neighbors, and our co-workers, and our extended family and friends, and our life together in our church family, Lord God. Father, as we pray, give us this day our daily bread, Lord. Father, help us to trust you, Lord God. Help us our trust to be in you to provide our daily needs, Lord God. As we pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, Lord God. Father, help us to honestly reflect upon our own hearts and to confess those areas of sin, Lord God, and to also make sure that we're not holding anything against anyone, Lord God. And as we pray, lead us not into temptation, Lord God. Help us to trust you, Lord God, that you provide a way out of temptation. Deliver us from evil, Lord God. Help us not to cause harm, Lord God. We don't know the temptations that people deal with. I know the temptations that I deal with, Lord God. Lord God, only you know the heart of a person, Lord God. Things may look okay. Things may look okay on the outside, Lord God. But I pray, Lord God, that you would help each person here at their point of temptation, Lord God. Lord God, help each marriage, Lord God. Help each family, Lord God. Lord God, give the strength and the grace that is needed to each one, Lord God, that they would not turn their back on you, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that the tests that come into our lives, that they are not too severe, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you give Rick and Sue the grace that they need to, as they are facing this test, Lord God. I thank you that you give them the grace that they need for today, for tomorrow, for Tuesday, for Wednesday, for Thursday, for Friday, for Saturday, Lord God, for the rest of their lives, Lord God. Father, I thank you that you give the grace that we need no matter what we are facing, Lord God. We thank you that your grace is sufficient for each one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.